Going to talk more college football, including Alabama and the national championship, the SEC's postseason presence, and also Urban Meyer's departure from Ohio State as we welcome in Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Peter, you put out a tweet today that I've actually heard more people, not even involved with the SEC, kind of discuss when it came to Urban Meyer's influence and the style that he not only brought into the SEC, but from the SEC into the Big Ten. And, of course, we've heard of him sort of being the godfather of the spread offense. But you brought up something that I think is probably valid, and that is that he brought in an SEC style of football, was an SEC taking Ohio State into a Northern SEC team, and it worked out well. When you do look at his overall influence, was that something that when he got the job at Ohio State that people thought that, well, if he does the exact same style, that may not work in the Big Ten?
I don't think it ever thought so much, guys. By the way, thanks for having me on again. I love coming on with you guys since we did with the College World Series. It feels like a great relationship now. I get to hang out.
Oh, we love having you.
Yeah, man.
It's great. I will say this. I don't think people ever thought, hey, that style's not going to work as far as how he was going to coach. I think the biggest deal, and when I talk about bringing an SEC team type mentality to the Big Ten, is I think it had everything to do with recruiting. In the SEC, it is absolute sharp knives when it comes to recruiting. Like, as soon as some kid commits, you've got six different schools trying to flip the commit, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, oh, no, I know he's committed to Auburn, but let's get him to Alabama or Florida or vice versa. I feel like before Urban really got up there, it was almost like hey, this kid's going to commit to Michigan, or this kid's thinking about going to Michigan State. And it was almost like basketball recruiting, where it's like a gentleman's agreement, go, all right, well, let's look at another kid. Let's not try to flip them. And I think when Urban got there, the SEC mentality was, hey, we need to upgrade all our facilities. We need to make sure I have the coaching staff that needs available, all the assistants. I need the best of the best. But more importantly, I need to be aggressive in recruiting. And Urban used that mentality that he had in Florida and flipped a bunch of kids, and he turned them into a powerhouse there in Columbus.
Peter, when you look at his career, you know, all the wins, the three national titles, especially at Ohio State, just the utter dominance of the Big Ten Conference, all the good, I mean, how do you kind of start to compartmentalize out the good stuff with some of the bad stuff? You know, the Zach Smith incident, some of the off-the-field incidents with his players when he was at Florida. How do you kind of start to reconcile all that in your mind?
You know, we were talking about that today on air. The best way to put it is complex. And mm-hmm. he is, you know, Tiger Woods is a complex a person, mm-hmm. right? Steve Jobs was a complex person. And they can be so brilliant in certain facets of their you know, realm. In other ways, it could be a colossal failure. And that's, to a certain extent, what Urban Meyer was. And I think that's what goes down to his legacy. I mean, you look at what he did to Florida. They were struggling. They get after Steve Spurrier. They needed somebody to really get that program up. 2 years down the road, he takes them to a national championship game. Same thing. After Luke Fickell takes over for Jim Tressel after Columbus, about 2 years, they win a national championship. But then after about 6 or 7 years, all of a sudden, there's just things that go on. And it's a kind of a win at all costs. And not only does it rub players the wrong way occasionally, it rubs opponents the wrong way. And there were a lot of chaos left in the wreckage. The issue is, if you're Florida or you're Ohio State, do you take the good with the bad? Do you take the championships if it means that you're going to have a little bit of the scandals? And both of those universities, I think at the end of the day, probably, sadly, would still take those championships.
Peter Burns joining us from the SEC Network. Peter, were you surprised that upon this decision from Urban Meyer that Ohio State was always ready? It seemed like they were always ready to make Ryan Day the next coach if and when Urban Meyer left. Did you think that they would maybe open and try to do a more detailed search and find maybe a more experienced candidate?
I think for them, they always felt comfortable that Ryan Day kind of bought into the program. And whenever he was suspended for the 3 or 4 games earlier this season, for 25% of the season, they looked at it and go, okay, you know, are we lost? Is this kid know what he's doing? Because Ryan Day is a kid compared to Urban Meyer and Nick Saban and everybody else. And they figured that, hey, listen, we didn't miss a beat. In fact, the guys really responded to him. He never seemed out of place. And the team did well. And so for them, what was important to kind of keep a transfer of power, I think that they looked exactly what happened at Oklahoma. It's a different situation, but when Bob Stoops says, "Hey, man, I'm gone. I'm ready to call this a day. I think we've got a soft landing area with Lincoln Riley." Well, guess what? It's almost identical. You get the offensive coordinator who's a hotshot, who knows the program, knows how to recruit, and it's a soft landing rather than trying to bring somebody in that doesn't necessarily know the program and can keep it on cruise control. No different really than what Larry Coker did with Miami back in the day, when he took over for Jimmy Johnson.
Peter, the final question that I think one has to ask, and it's probably the toughest one to answer, is because we saw this at Florida a few years ago. I mean, do you believe in your heart of hearts that this is really it for Urban Meyer, or is he going to pop back up in 2 or 3 years ready to coach again?
I think in his mind right now, he is done. You know, it just because the health scares, doesn't want to have the scandal, but it's always going to eat at him what happened at Ohio State and that his, quote, his legacy will be tainted. I don't think he's done personally. I really don't. I think that we look at 3 or 4 years down the road, this is not, Nick Saban at late 60s or Les Miles or even Mac Brown right now. I mean, you've got a coach that still has years in him and he's had success. So I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 2 or 3 year deal. And after every single season, we're talking about, hey, is Urban Meyer ready to get back into it? And I think sooner or later, he's going to say, you know what? I don't want the thing to be remembered for is Ohio State and how that went down with Zach Smith and whatnot. So, yeah, I'm not buying the fact. I'm buying the fact that he thinks it's his last job, but I'm not buying the fact that what happens in 3 years, he'll completely change his mind.
Peter, I want to get your thoughts on, first of all, the National College Football Playoff, Alabama in. We knew that that was definitely going to happen, and then they come back. The Jalen Hurts story we'll get to in a moment, just fantastic. But there was a lot of conversation about Georgia being worthy of the College Football Playoff. Do you think that it was the right move to keep them out of the College Football Playoff?
Listen, you guys know me. I'm as big of an SEC honk as anybody. And I think while Georgia is one of the top four teams in the country, I don't think they deserve to be in the College Football Playoff. I mean, I believe in the sanctity of the regular season. And so for me, I can't sit there and rip Ohio State last year for having two losses and that keeping them out, and at the same corner of my mouth say, well, but Georgia had two losses and we need to keep sanctity of the regular season, but let's discredit the regular season. So I think the committee got it 100% right. I think Oklahoma was the right fit. While they are historically bad on defense, they're also historically elite on offense. And I'll tell you this, if I was the Alabama Crimson Tide, and I'll never get Nick Saban to say this on television, as my daughter's rolling here in the room with us, I will never get him to say that he absolutely 1,000% much rather play Oklahoma than Ohio State nor Georgia. That is so much of a better matchup playing Oklahoma than it would be the Buckeyes or the Bulldogs again.
You know, Peter, when you look at how Alabama came from behind with Jalen Hurts, a quarterback, to win that SEC championship game, I think we all kind of assume that if Tua Tagovailoa is 100% healthy, that it'll go back just to the status quo the way that it was. But, is there sort of a part of you that wants to root for Jalen Hurts here to maybe be named the starter for the semifinal game and kind of see what he can do just because it would be such an awesome redemption story here?
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, listen, I work for the Disney Corporation, and I mean, this is like, we probably want to option the rights to the Jalen Hurts movie already, right? Like, it's just storybook. I mean, it's the ultimate, hey, you benched, can you power through? Do you commit to your team? And he did. The issue is Nick Saban could care less about anybody's feelings at the end of the day. I mean, he just sits there and he goes, he's a machine. We're built for one thing, and that is to chase perfection. And if Tua is 100%, he's there. He also knows that he has the luxury that probably no other coach in the history of college football has. He can put another Heisman Trophy type guy in as a backup. And that's a luxury. And that's why Nick Saban, remember, was so testy about the Jalen Hurts transfer situation earlier this year, because he knew, I might need this guy down the road. And guess what? He needed him. That's why they're the number one seed going into the College Football Playoff.
Well, you mentioned the key word there, to transfer. That's the era we are in when it comes to collegiate sports. And the fact that while everybody, guys like Kelly Bryant and other guys, were leaving their schools after four games so they could get that redshirt year, Jalen Hurts probably had every opportunity to do so, yet he sticks it out. Is that, to me, and I'm curious about you, to me, that's what makes this story even that much more awesome, that if you're a coach, you can point to a guy like Jalen Hurts and say, this guy stuck it out, and look what he was able to do to get his team back in a college football playoff. I just think that makes the story even better.
Yeah, I mean, I think coaches will look at that, but at the same time, I don't fault Kelly Bryant for wanting to transfer, and I still applaud Jalen Hurts for transferring. I mean, you know, these kids, at the end of the day, when you see coaches, when you see Scott Frost, when you see Nick Saban, when you see these guys making $5, $6, $7 million a year, and we're going to rip a kid for trying to do what's best. And listen, I hate it. I was brought in a tough environment, and my dad said, hey, you stick it out and you're do the best. But at the same time, when I see these coaches making millions and these kids not doing anything, if this kid wants to transfer and go play somewhere, it stinks, but I completely understand it. The same way reason for these kids that are sitting out of bowl games, it stinks. I don't like it, but I 100% approve if they do it, simply for the fact that they gotta watch out for their own self.
Talking to Peter Burns of the SEC Network. Peter, let's circle back to Urban Meyer here for a quick sec. You know, I happen to agree with you that there's a chance that in, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, whatever the case may be, that itch will get to him. I know we talked a little bit about the NFL thing, you know, out there in the future. Just with his style, the way he likes to control things, that typically doesn't play well at the NFL level. But in the college game, you know, you look at where he's coached, Florida, Ohio State. It's tough to argue there's a lot of jobs out there better than those. But give me a name of a school or two that, you know, if they had an opening here in a couple of years, it wouldn't surprise you if Urban Meyer gave some serious consideration to go in there.
Yeah, I mean, the two that come to mind are Southern Cal and Notre Dame. I mean, you're not all of a sudden going to take Louisiana Tech or, you know, North by Northwest Baptist State. You know, I mean, if he goes somewhere, he's going to go to a blue blood because he's shown what he can do. And so to me, I think that's he now sits in a situation where kind of like, Bob Stoops does in Oklahoma, and same thing with John Gruden was in the NFL. He can sit around and wait. And if, hey, he feels better, he thinks he wants to get into it, someone's going to offer him a boatload of money to come back sooner or later. That's why I'm just not buying the fact that he's done coaching in his career.
Peter, there's one thing that we've been talking a lot about, especially now for a third year in a row, the Big Ten champion will not be in the college football playoff. And you look at the conferences that have gone to 9-game conference schedules, including the Big Ten, and the two that remain that have not, yet they have been in the college football playoff every year, and that's the ACC and the SEC. Does that kind of strengthen the SEC's conversation when it comes to, hey, come on, join us with 9 conference games, and they're just basically saying nope, because look how it's working for them?
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the whole situation. I talked to David Shaw, the head coach at Stanford, this offseason about it. And he goes, listen, I think we think everybody should play 9 or at least have the same amount of conference games. And here in the Pac-12, all of a sudden, if we don't and we're out of the college football playoff again, we really have to evaluate if we need to stay at 9. And I think eventually you're going to see other teams come in and only play 8 games. I mean, when you play 9-game conference games, while I like it for the conference, you're automatically handing half of your conference a loss. Half of your conference is getting one extra loss. I'm all for great schedules, but at some point you got to be a part of the college football playoff, and they cannibalize themselves with one more opportunity with that 9 conference game.
Yep, absolutely. Peter Burns, SEC Network. Peter, really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime, boys.
You got it, sir. Yeah, Nick, when I asked that question to Peter, you know, what's give me the name of a school that Urban Meyer would strongly consider, the first one that popped to my mind was USC. And I think that there's a pretty good chance, to be quite honest with you, that job is open within the next couple of years. In fact, a lot of people thought this year would be the year for Clay Helton. If he can't turn it around, totally different set of circumstances, but the Urban Meyer style would work there. That aggressiveness, I think, with the recruiting would play really, really well there. That would certainly be very, very intriguing. And that's the kind of a guy that, yeah, I feel weird saying this, but you know what, Nick? That's the kind of a guy that, like, USC needs, is somebody like that who can come along, take your flagship program in that entire conference, and that's USC. You know, no offense to anybody else in that league, but that league needs USC to be good, much like the Big Ten needs Ohio State to be good. you almost need that brand of ruthlessness that Urban Meyer brings with him to help put USC back where they belong in order to kind of restore some of the prestige to that league that is desperately, desperately missing right now.
Urban Meyer is now going to be in the John Gruden camp where every job of any kind of significance that pops open, both college and NFL, it was always John Gruden. Well, could this be the job that takes John Gruden out of the booth? Could this be finally the one job that John Gruden will say, all right, I'll hang up the headset and get back into coaching? Well, now that John Gruden is back on the sideline, Urban Meyer, I think more than anybody, is going to have his name in that exact same conversation. And mainly it's going to be in college football jobs because Urban Meyer's never coached in the NFL. But for every big-time college job that would come open over the next few years, it is going to be the exact same thing that we were talking about with the NFL and John Gruden. Hell, John Gruden's name was brought up for a lot of college football jobs too, but it's going to be the exact same thing with Urban Meyer. Be like, well, there's Urban Meyer. Oh, wait, this big job? Well, there's Urban Meyer. There's Urban Meyer. I'm assuming he's a smart man. I'm assuming that he understands that those rumors and all those just trying to link him to these certain jobs, that is going to take place more so now than it ever has. You know, I mean, if you really want to sort of get away from a lot of that stress that does come with it, I don't know if you can necessarily escape that. And Urban Meyer even said he doesn't want to completely, you know, get away from college football. He wants to have some kind of involvement, hopefully with Ohio State. Is there apparently going to be some kind of position that he will have? Gene Smith didn't really get into details on it. But every job, mark my word, every job that comes open, people will try to link Urban Meyer to it.
If USC has a job opening, say, in 2020, if they fire, you know, Clay Helton after this next season, you think Urban Meyer's back on the sideline starting the 2020 season?
I would want to say no, it's too soon, you know, given, you know, the circumstances why he's retiring, but it is Urban Meyer.
You know, I think that the health stuff is very real.
I do too.
And I don't know that it necessarily wasn't real when he retired from Florida, Nick, but, you know, when you're not coaching 365 days a year and worrying about it, you can, you know, in theory, get treatment and maybe get healthy, you know, rather quickly. I don't know exactly the ins and outs of his situation. I'm not a doctor or anything, but look, I'm kind of falling into the camp of a lot of these guys we've talked to today, Nick. I don't think he's done. I think that the itch will get to him, and I think it will take a special program, the right scenario, but USC is the first one that jumped into my mind. Notre Dame, maybe. I get the sense that, and maybe it's just because I follow Iowa State fairly closely still, I get the sense that Matt Campbell will make a gigantic push to be the Notre Dame head coach whenever that job comes open. And Brian Kelly's obviously no danger of being fired. I think Brian Kelly is a guy that's on some NFL radars over the next couple of years. But still, that one to me, you're far enough away from Ohio State that you're not kind of sitting right where you once were. I mean, Ohio State and Notre Dame are fairly close together. They're going to overlap a lot of the same territory. You can go way out on the West Coast, totally different set of circumstances, whole new outlook on everything, whole new approach, if you want. That's the one for me. As soon as that job comes open, and I think it will, that's the name. That's where I think Urban Meyer, if he says no to that, then I will actually believe, I think, that he's done coaching.
I know we got to get to a break. So on the other side of the break, I want to bring up something that is going to be very important about what that role could be for Urban Meyer and how that could impact if he does come back to coaching at some level. Because I think if you go with his previous experience, I think there's something to this here.
It's AM 590.
ESPN Omaha.